Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone, and please record your name clearly when prompted. Your name will be required to introduce your question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections at this time, you may disconnect. Now I would like to turn the meeting over to your host, Mr. Rob Ahuja. Mr. Ahuja, you may begin, sir. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome everyone to another episode of DB2 Chat with the Lab series. Today's topic is what's new since version 9.7 G8. Before we get started, I'd just like to remind you that if you would like to download the presentation slides for today, you can do so by going to ibm.com/db2/labchats. That's LABCHATS. You can listen to the web conference as well as dial into the web conference if you'd like to. And without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Sal Vella, Vice President of Database Development at IBM.
I'm very happy to be hosting this DB2 Chat with the Labs. I want to thank everyone for joining us on this call. I also want to acknowledge the work of IDUG, the International DB2 Users Group, in getting the word out for this call. These are very exciting times for us in DB2. We continue to develop some exciting technologies, and at the same time, are seeing some terrific pickup in technologies we've already delivered in the form of PureScale and our compatibility technology for both Oracle and Sybase. On PureScale, we continue to see terrific interest in technology. One of the things we've done to accelerate the exposure to technology is what we call our nano clusters, which lets all of our technical salespeople allow customers all over the world to experience PureScale themselves. The nanocluster is a very basic set of three atom-based Intel servers connected with the Internet. We carry in a backpack or briefcase, which can show off the scalability and high availability aspects of DB2 PureScale. If you're interested in PureScale and you want to get some hands-on experience, please work with your IBM technical sales rep to get your hands on a nanocluster. It's one thing to tell you about PureScale and PowerPoint charts, but I want you to be able to experience PureScale for yourselves. That means getting you to be able to use PureScale to your own testing on a real cluster. And this is what the nanoclusters are all about. We've got hundreds of these systems worldwide, so I encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. Likewise, we're seeing terrific interest in our Oracle and Sybase compatibility technologies. We've got hundreds of client customers making the move and growing the growing pipeline of customers we're talking to every day who are looking to make the move. We continue to make it even easier to move from Oracle and Sybase to DB2, and this chat with the lab will describe some of those features that we've added since the GA of DB2 9.7. I get to talk to clients and business partners about the great work we've done. DB2 9.7 has been one of the fastest releases in terms of customer migrations. We've seen many customers move quickly to DB2 9.7 in order to get the benefits from features such as compression and the Oracle migration. IBM released DB2 9.7 for Linux, Unix, and Windows in June of 2009, and since that time, we've been working hard enhancing DB2 and adding new capabilities through a series of fixed packs, releasing DB2 PureScale, as well as introducing a high-value new edition called DB2 Advanced Enterprise Edition. Now, this DB2 Chat with the Labs will teach you all about these improvements to DB2 LUW. The speaker for this chat with the labs is Jamie Waters, who is a senior product manager for DB2. Many thanks again, and enjoy the presentation.
Well, thank you, Sal. So this is Jamie Waters speaking. Welcome, everybody. It's extremely exciting to be here for my first DB2 chat with the lab. I see there's a whole bunch of folks that are online in the webcast. I just want to let you know, right at this point in time, I'm on slide number 3, and I'll try to remember as I go through the specific slides that I'm on. There's a couple other folks that are going to join me on today's call. One is Holly Hayes. She's a product manager from IBM as well. She looks after the Optum tooling portfolio for IBM. And we also have another gentleman who is a late addition at my request, Mr. Paul Awad, who is going to talk a little bit at the end or answer any questions for you guys, if you will, around DB2 PureScale. So with that said, let me move forward, and we'll get going here. On slide number 4. Essentially, the agenda for what we want to talk about today. One, I want to talk about the DB2 roadmap, historically where we've been since DB2 9.7. I'll do a very brief high-level overview, if you will, on what was delivered in 9.7, so it would be a 9.7 recap. I will touch base on a number of fix packs and some of the functionality and enhancements that we've delivered through a series of fix packs throughout the remainder of 2009 and 2010. I have to warn you, though, I'm not an extremely technical person, but I will obviously point you to more information online. There's a treasure trove of information where you can find information on these fix packs. As well, I would offer folks to send me an email directly if they do have any further questions. My email address is Waters, W-A-T-T-E-R-S, at ca.ibm.com. And then we're going to move on to DB2 PureScale. As Sal Bella mentioned, a new innovation that we're delivering for distributed DB2 here. We delivered it at the end of 2009. I want to talk, I'm very excited about this new edition that we also released at the end of 2010 called DB2 Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. And within that Advanced Enterprise Server Edition, we talk about where we include Optum tooling, and that's where I'm going to ask Holly to say some words there. And I do want to talk a little bit around DB2 Galileo. Galileo is the code name for our next major release. And looking forward to hopefully having some folks on the line participate in the beta. So let's move forward. So slide number 6. Essentially, what we've done here, and as Sal mentioned, we delivered DB2 version 9.7 in June of 2009. We've been hard at work throughout the remainder of 2009 and 2010 to deliver a series of fix packs. I'll talk briefly around the fix packs 1, 2, and 3 for 9.7 and some of the highlights there. DB2 9.7 fix pack 3A, essentially that was our release of this new Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. So when I talk about Advanced Enterprise Server Edition, actually what I'm talking about is DB2 9.7 fix pack 3A. So I don't want folks to be too confused about that. As well, at the end of or near the end of 2009, we did deliver DB2 9.8 or PureScale. And we have a series of fix packs that we've delivered throughout 2010 with that as well. So we will touch base on the PureScale functionality. So once again, just a recap around DB2 9.7. There were some common themes that we basically pigeonholed the feature functionality into. If you will recall, essentially resource optimization being one of them. So the aspect of trying to get the best performance with the most efficient utilization of available resources, or in other words, making sure that our customers and our partners' investment in hardware is optimal. So making sure that we can have as good performance as possible on as minimal resources as possible. And some of the things that we did there, not just actually from a hardware perspective, but also from a people perspective, making sure that we're trying to put a focus on the effort entailed and actually human resources to work with DB2, reducing the cost from a people perspective as well. So some of the components that were involved or introduced in DB2 9.7, specifically around resource optimization that you hopefully are familiar with if you are running on 9.7, is index compression, temporal table compression. So these types of compression are in addition to what was previously delivered on compression. We have compression of large objects and XML storage objects, basically the ability to compress these objects when you can't store the XML data inline in the row. We made some advancements around replication and compressing the source side of a replication scenario. And as you're probably very familiar with, the compression features that we do deliver basically deliver up to 85% storage savings depending on the data that we're talking about. And not only that, but they also save on IOs. So we can look at a number of, up to 2x performance improvements around that area as well. So we continue to, in 9.7, focus on compression improvements. As well, we have under this resource optimization flag, around storage I/O optimization, right? So this concept of simple space reclamation, reducing the cost and complexity of managing high watermarks and automatically remapping extents. We also have delivered under resource optimization some things around ease of storage management, especially from a people perspective. So automatic storage migration, the ability to migrate from an existing database to automatic storage database. We've seen a number of performance improvements as well, such as scan sharing, so that could really fall under a resource optimization standpoint as well. So the ability of scan sharing to look for scans that can share and piggyback on top of each other. Customers can see a number of performance improvements and reduction in disk I/O around that. So you can see with DB2 9.7, there was a number of resource optimization improvements. Secondly, I wanted to talk a little bit around, and I apologize, I'm just going to stay on slide 7 here for a little bit, and just more speak towards some of the features, as I do think that there's a lot of information available externally. There also was a webcast, I believe, our DB2 Chat with the Lab with Tim Vincent and Sal Vella that is goes into a lot more detail around some of these performance improvements. So the second area that I wanted to talk around was concept of ongoing flexibility. And so once people get systems up and running, change to those systems is obviously inevitable. If you want to make sure, you know, when and if you have to make changes to this configuration, you know, such as making changes to workload or performance characterizations, or simply to grow the system, changes should be as easy to make and online. And we're working on that under this banner of ongoing flexibility. So some of the things that we talked to or that we touched base on in 9.7 is improvements to schema evolution and data lifecycle growth, right? So schema evolution, the ability to relax the object dependency model, you know, automatic invalidation and revalidation of the dependencies once objects are changed. And then from a data lifecycle perspective, the range partition tables, the ability to create local as opposed to global local partitioned index. This reduces the index maintenance and gives us performance and storage improvements. So we're continuing on with that ongoing flexibility as well. Last but or not last but least is service level confidence. So the ability to expand your critical workloads confidently and cost effectively. We know that a bunch of you are having to negotiate continuously with different service level objectives with your lines of businesses. The focus of DB2 is not just around performance, but also how to make you guys make it easier to meet your service level objectives. Some areas that we talked about there are resilience and reliability. So for example, in 9.7, the ability to tolerate events. If the event occurs in a larger or a layer of code where no data integrity issues would arise, for example, maybe in the compilation phase, also the ability to tolerate some read errors, those type of things. I also made some improvements around modding and workload management capabilities, you know, investing in a new parallel monitoring infrastructure, using in-memory tables, which is independent of the system monitoring infrastructure that is usually in use. Creating some new metrics that you can rely on to help manage your service levels, things like time spent metrics and component time metrics. So those are things that we're looking at that we did in 9.7 around service level confidence. We also touched base on XML insights. So the concept there is once we get the XML into the operational systems, that was our first objective. Our ongoing objective is to add support for XML in more of the in harnessing of the business value or the analytics side of the world. So the ability to support XML and range partitioning, improving scalability, XML compression and XDA compression, those type of things. So basically it is within InfoSphere Warehouse. And then, of course, one of the bigger things that Sal Vella mentioned as well in his opening remarks was the concept of breaking free with DB2 or the Oracle compatibility and the Sybase compatibility features. We've had a lot of strong uptake of these throughout 2009 and 2010. So I'm very encouraged with this. This is going to be something that we continue to invest in moving forward. So just as a recap of what this is, essentially a lot of customers and partners with heterogeneous environments have applications that may be developed on one vendor's database and they want to, you know, specifically Oracle, and they may want to move that off to another database, or possibly we could have customers or partners that are primarily a single vendor shop, and they wanted to get to a dual state database strategy. This is where the compatibility features can really make a big dent, because the goal there is not only to move the application to DB2 with the littlest amount of cost and effort, but also to continue to leverage existing skill sets in the customers and the people that are working on, for example, would it be an Oracle application or Oracle, database. So some of the things that we focused on there was obviously supporting other database management SQL natively, right? So making it easy for developers to query DB2 and fast performance, supporting other database management systems procedural languages natively, being able to easily import other DBMS's schemas, supporting other DBMS's concurrency models, you know, support for flexible data typing, implicit casting, those type of things. And I'll touch very briefly on fixed packs in terms of what we've done to continue to improve that. Last but not least, I'm not going to go into any level of detail here, but just everything that we would work on or that we build out for the warehouse actually going to be enabled in everything that we build out for DB2, specifically for the warehouse, is actually going to be enabled in the balanced warehouse and InfoSphere warehouse as well. So I won't touch too much on the warehouse functionality. Okay, let me move forward here because that was a lot of talking for one slide. I'm on slide number 8 now. And essentially here, I'll touch base on some high-level themes around what we've done with fixed packs throughout 2009-2010, but there's a link on this slide here which brings you to the Information Center, and in there you can see a complete list of all the fixed pack changes. And I would welcome you to go take a look at that for a little bit more information around what is primarily delivered. But let me touch base now on some of the changes that we've done throughout the fixed packs. So in fixed pack one, one of the things that was actually very important to us that we delivered in fixed pack one was the ability to do HADR reads on standby. So the ability to connect to the standby and execute reads on the standby, this offers much greater utilization of the standby system. We also delivered some range partitioning enhancements and improvements, right? So partition level reorgs, performing index and table reorgs on a specified data partition without impacting the access to remaining data partitions of the table. We had some other compatibility improvements, and these are the things around Oracle and Sybase that we continue to focus on. You know, so some compatibility improvements such as simplified Boolean candidates or conditions, I'm sorry, in PL, SQL, a substring scalar function, conditional compilation of PL, SQL. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of details that we can point towards. LDAP enhancements. We have transparent support. So historically, we've had transparent LDAP support on AIX. With this fixed pack and moving forward, we've introduced transparent LDAP support in HP, Solaris, and Linux systems as well. And from a platform support update, Windows 7 and Windows 2008 R2 were supported as of fixed pack 1. So now moving on to slide number 10, a couple of other themes, if you will, or ideas around what areas we focused on. One is on the concurrent access. So there is, using the wait for outcome aspect of a select statement. A lot of work around serviceability. So improvements to some of our internal tools for tracing and for consolidating and aggregating the data that we use to support customers. So improvements to things like DB2 support, DB2 PD, DB2 FODC, and DB2 DIAG. We have some high availability improvements. And something that we characterize as roving HA. So essentially, if there's no failback required with this, once a failed node becomes active again, so the idle node will always be the one that just failed. The location of the idle node will be dynamic or roving. Once again, some LDAP improvements, Kerberos authentication support, and ongoing compatibility around PL, SQL, identifying some of the more important gaps that our partners and that our customers have identified for us, and as well as some ongoing platform support updates. And briefly, just to move on to fixed pack 3, I want to make sure that we're moving forward towards our discussion on advanced edition and pure scale and tooling. In fixed pack 3, we delivered some stability things, such as trap resiliency for load operations. So the ability to catch a trap and suspend the causing thread instead of bringing down the whole DB2 engine. We made some concurrency improvements, specifically around the creation of global temporary tables. We did some install improvements, some ongoing serviceability improvements. For example, SAP requested us to change DB2 support to collect data from Activity Event Monitor. Did some improvements to the granularity of the DB2 trace utility. And as always, we continue moving forward with ongoing compatibility and platform support updates. Specifically with this platform support update, we delivered AIX 7.1 support that was available as of FP3. And now let me just move on. I'm moving on to slide 12 and 13. So as I mentioned, if you saw on the previous slide there was a fixed pack called DB2-9703A. That actually is going to be one of, that fixed pack is the DB2 Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. I'll be talking about that in one moment. What I wanted to talk about now was a little bit around DB2 Pure Scale. So this is a add-on feature that we delivered in October of 2009. The code stream that it goes with is DB2 9.8. And let me just move on to slide number 13. So essentially the key aspects that DB2 PureScale brings to the table here is unlimited capacity, right? So application transparency and continuous availability. So unlimited capacity is the ability obviously to buy only what you need and add capacity as your needs grow. We can discuss how this applies a little bit more in a slide or two from here, where we talk about the licensing model around DB2 PureScale. Application transparency, obviously avoiding the risk and cost of any application changes. DB2 will help you scale without expensive and risky data changes. And then probably last but not least, the continuous availability. The aspect of active environments, 100% uptime. DB2 has basically learned this from the undisputed gold standard of reliability, which if we have any mainframe folks on the call, is the system Z. And DB2 PureScale is based on the Z architecture that businesses have learned to trust for obviously their most critical operational systems, as well as warehouse systems. We'll be walking through how DB2 PureScale can help with your systems. So just moving on to the next slide around the architecture. So on slide number 14 now, for those of you not following along in the webcast. So as I mentioned, the DB2 PureScale architecture is based on the industry-leading System Z data sharing architecture. It includes automatic workload balancing to ensure that no node in the system is overloaded. So DB2 in this regard will actually automatically route transactions or connections to the least heavily used server. DB2 PureScale is built on Power as well as runs on x86 Linux architectures or platforms. The technology for globally sharing locks and memory is based on the technology from ZOS, as well as the Tivoli system automation. This aspect of it has been integrated deeply into DB2 PureScale, installed and configured as part of the DB2 installation process, and DBAs and system admins don't even need to know that it's there. As well, the networking infrastructure leverages InfiniBand, and all additional clustering software is included as part of the installation as well. The core of this system is a shared data, or sorry, a shared disk architecture environment. So moving on to slide number 15 to talk a little bit more about PureScale. So we talked about virtually unlimited capacity as well as scalability. So from a capacity standpoint, you can add as many nodes as you need. And from a licensing standpoint, what we offer there is basically a pay-by-the-day type of licensing model. So, for example, if you have a situation where, you know, maybe it might be a Black Friday or the first day after Thanksgiving in the U.S., where maybe you know there's going to be a large load put on your specific DB2 instances, you could potentially add nodes on top of DB2 PureScale and pay for those for a set number of days, if you will. So use them for a week or use them for 2 weeks and just pay for those cores and those nodes that were added for that time period. So basically what we're trying to do there is enable you just to license the machines for the time that you need to handle peak times. Okay. Let me just move on to the next slide here. Especially around, so also we're going to talk a little bit around recovering instantaneously from node failures. So this talks about the concept of active-active or 100% availability. So in situations where, you know, one or maybe more members fail, either due to hardware or software problems, the workload balancer automatically recognizes which members are available and sends the new transactions automatically across the surviving members without interruption to your application. At the same time, DB2 PureScale does a fast crash recovery on the failing node, normally within about 10 to 15 seconds, which includes the detection time of the problem. When the crash recovery starts, locks on data that was being read on the failing node will be released immediately, and locks for the data that was in flight, either updated, inserted, or deleted, will be released with an average time of 15 seconds or so of recovery. We can do such a fast recovery with DB2 PureScale due to this centralized lock management capability that enables us to crash recovery into the member logs fast, maximizing data availability. Your application will continue to operate with no interruption, and the failed transactions will be re-executed on an available member. So that talks a little bit around the availability aspect of PureScale. And I think before I did move forward one slide, but just to step back 1 second. So Sal Vella did mention this concept of a nano cluster type of usage to get our customers and folks get their hands on PureScale and start playing with it. I would really encourage you to reach out to your IBM reps or to whoever you have a contact with in IBM. We have our technical sales professionals that are fully motivated to deliver these nano clusters to our customers, possibly drop them off for a little bit, let you guys sit there and play with them. And basically it's a set of three small mini servers with PureScale and stuff already loaded. And it's a great little exhibit, if you will, if you want to actually pull one of the cores and see the type of availability that PureScale gives you, or if you want to play a little bit with the scalability. So I would strongly encourage you to reach out and start maybe playing with the PureScale technology through the use of these nano clusters. Okay, so let me move on to slide number 18 now. And actually, this is a very interesting topic and a very exciting topic for myself as well. So at the end of 2010, we delivered a new edition. Essentially, it's called DB2 Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. And then the reason why we did that was a couple of different reasons. One is we wanted to be simpler to our customers. We wanted to add more value in the base product, you know, make them basically standard features, if you will, if you want to correlate it to more of an automobile type of metaphor. So one edition with all the features in it, and the reason why is because in talking with customers, we realized both IBM as well as Oracle could be seen as essentially, for lack of a better term, nickel and diming them on features, right? So selling them the base database and then saying, well, if you want this, you're going to need to buy this feature. If you want workload management, you're going to need to buy this feature, et cetera, pushing the price tag higher and higher and higher and making it more complex. At the same time, customers were telling us that they wanted to have high-quality tools included in DB2, and they really wanted to have an easy reason to champion DB2 within their enterprise. And I think with this new edition of Advanced Enterprise Server Edition, we've accomplished that. It's an easy answer, once we go through the details here in a minute, an easy answer on why should we move to DB2, and you can talk about it both from a technology perspective as well as from a business perspective in terms of great ROI savings. So this slide here, I'm on slide number 19, and I apologize because this is essentially an overwhelming slide if you want to go through it in any level of detail. My point with this slide was just if you move from the left to the right-hand side of the slide, we basically increase in terms of our additions. So we start with DB2 Express C, which is the open free version of DB2, all the way from DB2 Express all the way up to DB2 Advanced Enterprise. And my goal here was to just highlight those areas in green that you can see that we are now including in DB2 Advanced Enterprise. Those areas in yellow could correlate to, you know, other requirements or the necessary need to buy additional licenses. But you can see with DB2 Advanced Enterprise that we've actually increased the level of green items, if you will, and included them in the base edition. So what is in DB2 Advanced Enterprise Server Edition? So I'm going to move to slide number 20 right now. So hopefully a lot of folks are already very familiar with our storage optimization feature. So providing compression for table rows, values, indexes, temporary tables, those type of things. This was sold before as a feature on top of the DB2 storage or on top of the DB2 Enterprise Server Edition. This is now included in DB2 Advanced Edition. We have DB2 Performance Optimization feature, which is now included, which includes workload management and Optum Performance Manager version 4.1. And Holly will actually speak a little bit more in a couple minutes about Optum Performance Manager, as well as the next two tools that we've also included in DB2 Advanced Edition, which is ODA, or Open, or Optum Database Administrator, and ODS, or Optum Development Studio. In addition to those, we also included the following features, so homogeneous replication. We did limit this to one active pair, so basically from moving from A to B or from B to A. Information Infosphere Federation Server, limited this as well to homogeneous federation between DB2 and Formix plus Oracle. So anything above and beyond that would require additional licenses, but we did allow it for LUW and Formix and Oracle, as well as label-based access control or advanced security features. So this ability to allow administrators to control user read-write access at the table, column, and row level. So you can see here that in addition to the base Enterprise Server Edition, this new Advanced Enterprise Server Edition has a whole lot of features and functions, and from a price tag standpoint, it's essentially only about 10% more than today's current Enterprise Server Edition. So 10% more, but you get a whole lot of value on it, and actually if we move to the next slide, I believe there's a picture of how this looks compared to the competition in terms of price tag. So as you can see here, DB2 AESE version 9.7, roughly the price tag, this is all in US dollars and just a simple 100 value unit type of example or one core type of example. This is not meant to be, you know, written in stone because depending on the customer's environment, their platform choices and their hardware choices, some of these prices may change. But for a simple one core 100 PBU example, DB2 AESE is approximately, you know, $40,500. And you can see Oracle 11GR2, if you start adding on some of the features that they do put on top of that, you can see that the price tag does go up to, you know, a fairly high level, obviously in the 100K range. So we're seeing this as a new approach, if you will, to delivering a database solution to our customers. We want to continue to move forward in this approach, so net new features moving forward will essentially be standard in DB2 Advanced. I'd like the DB2 Advanced edition to become the de facto standard, if you will, for all of our customers. Customers can easily trade up from their existing DB2 ESE version. There's trade-up parts available. Even if customers have a combination of DB2 ESE and one of the features that we talked about, say, for example, storage optimization feature, there is trade-up parts that account for that. So there's lots of different options here to get a customer moving on to DB2 Advanced Edition. So let me stop there. As I mentioned, also there's some very high-quality key tooling products included with Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. And I'm going to pass it over to Holly Hayes now, who is our Optum Tooling Product Manager, and she can walk you through some of those features.
Thanks very much, Jamie. So I'm going to cover briefly a set of tools that come with the DB2 entitlement for Advanced Edition. Optum Performance Manager is included with Advanced Edition, as Jamie just said. This is a tool for monitoring key performance indicators and getting alerts when thresholds are violated, having the ability to drill down into the nature of the problems. It's integrated with a set of query analysis tools for problem resolution, and also includes integration with the workload management capability to be able to prevent problems. So that's part of the DB2 Advanced Enterprise Server Edition now. The remaining products on this slide are actually now included with entitlement for all of the DB2 servers for which you have current subscription. So Database Administrator and Optum Development Studio are both now available for download from Passport Advantage. If you go to the DB2 9.7 Windows or Linux eAssemblies, you'll find those there. They are available. There are trial versions out on the web, but those do still require the activation license, so you'd need to get that from the Passport Advantage site. So Optum Database Administrator is really about, as it says, database administration, being able to manage database objects and privileges and build scripts and so forth. I'll talk a little bit about that one. Optum Development Studio is our integrated development environment for building SQL, stored procedures, UDFs, web services, Java data access layers, etc., and for deploying that. Data Studio and Data Studio Health Monitor are both also available for direct download off of the web, and support is provided via your active subscription or through the forums. With Data Studio, it's largely a subset of either Database Administrator or Development Studio, but it does include some unique function in the area of query formatting and statistics advice, as well as there's a smaller footprint option with a little bit of reduced function. If you go to the Data Studio download, you'll see you have an IDE option or a standalone option. If you want to use that in conjunction with Development Studio or Database Administrator, you'd get the IDE option, and you can install it such that it appears as a single integrated work environment. The standalone option is really primarily for customers who have fewer needs in the area of database administration and development. In particular, there's no real Java development support in the Data Studio standalone option, but are really more interested in a smaller footprint. And then finally, Data Studio Health Monitor provides, as it says, health monitoring. Primarily, the focus is on identifying and alerting situations that would block applications from running. It's built on the same underlying infrastructure as our Optum Performance Manager, and in fact, all of the health monitoring capabilities are already in Optum Performance Manager. So you get that as part of Optum Performance Manager, but it's complementary. So if you have environments where you don't need the performance monitoring capabilities, then you just be able to have a very simple, easy-to-use health monitoring Okay, let's go to the next slide, and I'll just go through a few more of these. So just to position these again, our Optum Performance Manager in combination with DB2's Workload Manager capability allows you to identify problems, get early warning via alerts that are sent, either via an at-a-glance console or sending email or SNMP traps to other tooling that you may have, perhaps you're a Tivoli customer. It gives you the ability to drill down into specific areas. We'll look a little bit into that. The problem resolution would be through Optum Development Studio or Optum Database Administrator in terms of it being entitled function. If you wanted to invest in additional capability, Optum Query Tuner also provides query advice and index advice. There'll be extensions to that coming in the marketplace this year as well that you'll be interested in seeing. And then to prevent problems, you might want to be using the workload management capabilities so that you can align your resources from the outset with the priorities that you have with your business, as well as utilize the performance warehousing capabilities that are part of Optum Performance Manager for being able to understand transaction trending and capacity requirements. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So, as I mentioned, with Optum Performance Manager, it'll help you identify problems. The whole idea here is to identify things before they really cause any real business impact. With Optum Performance Manager, you get a web-based health summary, which allows you to see at a glance all of your databases that you're monitoring and whether or not there are any problems. You get a simple, you know, green, yellow, red light kind of visualization. If there are problems, you can just click on the little red icon and it'll bring up either a summary of all of the alerts that fall within that particular category, and then you can drill down to alert-specific detail to be able to see what in particular is the problem. As I mentioned, in addition to having the visualization, you can send email or SNMP traps. There are a set of KPI templates that are included in the box, so depending on whether you're running depending on the kind of system, if you're running BI or OLTP or SAP, there are a set of templates that are available out of the box to get up and running quickly with a set of alerts and then the ability to customize those as you need to. Once you've identified that there's a problem and you want to get more information about that particular problem, then you're offered the option within the alert summary to click into the dashboard that's relevant to the type of problem that's being alerted. So if we go to the next screen, you'll see that you can actually get then a dashboard that's customized to specific resource categories. So you can drill into memory, buffer pool and I/O, into SQL logging, locking, etc., so that you can actually see what's going on. Now, in addition, I'm not sure if you can really see it, but you'll see sort of a long bar sort of in the upper middle part of the screen capture. That's the time slider bar. That means that you're able to view not only what's happening now, but also what's happened in the past. So if you want to see, well, how did this look like this morning, or how did this look like yesterday morning, or how did this look last week, you have a very easy capability to quickly look at historical comparisons for these figures. So to see, is this something that's really anomalous, or you know, has this kind of behavior been happening for some time? Let's go to the next slide. And as I mentioned, you have the ability to prevent problems from occurring. So from a workload management perspective, what you really want to do is allocate resources according to business priorities, and that's exactly what Workload Manager allows you to do. We've built into OPM, Optum Performance Manager, the ability to define workloads and to associate those with specific service classes according to their priority. You can protect data from getting overloaded by setting limits on how long a query can run, or restrict CPU resources for specific lines of business or groups of users or applications and so forth. Now, workload management in this way requires an iterative model, and OPM has integrated into it the kinds of analytics that you need to be able to understand how do I need to tune my workload management rules as I go forward. In addition, because we've collected all of the historical information, you have the ability to tune proactively. So it's very easy to bring up a report that says, show me all of the high-cost queries so that I can go and do some proactive remediation in terms of query performance. Or to, as I mentioned, analyze trends. So I want to see how much my storage has grown over a period of time so I can plan for what kind of storage requirements do I have in the future, or what's my transaction growth look like, and so forth. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Optum Database Administrator, as I mentioned, is primarily a tool for managing databases. Its value proposition is really around helping DBAs save time, reduce errors, and foster teamwork across DBA and application development communities. So it helps you save time just by providing a simple graphical interface for quickly building out maintenance scripts, performing object management, performing database maintenance, managing privileges, cloning databases, being able to promote changes using compare and sync, and so forth. In addition, it provides insight into the relationships between objects so that you can quickly visualize dependencies and impacts for potential changes that you want to make. And in fact, it will do that scripting for you, automatically managing those dependent objects so it can factor in maintenance that may be required. If you have to do extended alters which require drop and restore, it will automatically manage the data restoration for you. And this is built on Eclipse technology, and therefore it can be utilized with the rest of the Rational software development platform. If you're a Rational user, you can have this co-installed with Optum Development Studio or with InfoSphere Data Architect. It supports forward engineering and reverse engineering, forward engineering from the physical model into a physical database, or from the database itself back into a physical model, and can be used with InfoSphere Data Architect at the logical data modeling level. Let's go to the next slide. Let's see, I've probably covered most of this in terms of administrative tasks. Catalog navigation. We do have the ability to share connection definitions across multiple instances, multiple users of Optum Database Administrator as well as Optum Development Studio. You can create working sets so you don't have to see the whole long list of databases that you have in your enterprise, but just show the ones that you want to work with right now. Let's see. I think I've talked about most of these. Why don't we go to the next slide real quick. I'm also just looking at the time here. I just wanted to mention, normally this would be shown in a slideshow mode, and you'd actually get to see the screen captures behind each of these titles. But in terms of managing database synchronization, so you want to promote changes, for example, you can invoke the compare and migrate objects function. And from there, you'd be able to select, where am I migrating from? Do I want to migrate, is this a physical catalog to catalog kind of migration from physical database to physical database? Am I starting with a physical data model? So I want to be able to do a compare and sync across the physical data model and the target database. Or do I want to start from a DDL script? So you have options of starting from any of those, and it'll identify for you the differences between those. You can then say, there's a certain set of objects that I want to exclude, so we provide some capability for doing masking of objects so you can eliminate the ones that you're not interested in migrating. Then you're presented with the differences between the source and target database, and you can select those that you want to migrate. We'll build the script for you for being able to do that migration. In addition, you can visualize all of the dependent objects prior to actually doing the migration or accepting the script. So it really tries to automate for you this whole change management process. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Oh, I wanted to just mention that we do include integration with the health monitor directly from your Eclipse environment. When you install Data Studio Health Monitor, you can configure your Optum Database Administrator to know about it. If you look, your Database Administrator task sort of in the background there, The Monitor tab will show you, under the Learn More, how to install Data Studio Health Monitor, and then under the More Monitoring Tasks, how to configure the Health Monitor URL and preferences actually in your Optum Development Studio, Optum Database Administrator, rather, environment. And then what will happen is you will see appearing, when you click on your database and your context menus, options for monitoring. And as you can see from the drop-down, you can view health summary alerts, currently running applications or utilities, table spaces. And you can choose whether or not to launch that as an embedded browser, which is what's shown here. So this would launch directly into your Eclipse environment. Or optionally, you can launch it as in an external browser, so it'll come up as a separate window altogether. You can also do this with Optum Performance Manager, so you could link in Optum Performance Manager as the preferred target environment to launch monitoring. In that case, we recommend that you do launch that as an external browser based on just the amount of data that we present once you're really navigating through OPM. Okay, let's look at Optum Development Studio real quick. I'm wanting to make sure that we leave a little bit of time here for Q&A at the end. Next slide, please. So Optum Development Studio is really about development productivity. So it's focused on the application development community and or DBAs who are more application-oriented DBAs. It gives you the capability to, you know, develop, test, run queries, procedures, functions, develop Java data access layers, and so forth. As a part of that, it'll help you understand impact analysis, provide support for enhanced problem isolation and identification, as well as the ability to copy data for test purposes. In addition, as a part of the development process, it's very focused on improving development performance. So as you're developing Java data access layers, it's using JDBC and SQL data access best practices. The other thing to note is that it supports DB2, Informix, and Oracle, Sybase soon to come, so that you can also use this in the context of data migration projects from Oracle to DB2. It also does support PL/SQL in that environment as well. Next slide. Excuse me, just taking a quick drink here. We just released a new, relatively new version of this last October, so you definitely want to get the Optum Development Studio 2.2.1. That is the one that's packaged with 9.7. And we introduced a couple of key features there. One, we changed the way that stored procedure and UDF development was done, giving it more of a template-driven nature, which a lot of customers that we've spoken with are really excited about. It gives you the ability of standardizing templates for your organization and automatically bringing those templates into your Optum Development Studio environment. Provides very rich debugging capabilities for DB2, supporting SQL, Java, PL/SQL procedures, and UDFs, and also Oracle PL/SQL procedures. And finally, we just also introduced in that same drop deployment capabilities so that you can deploy a set of artifacts to a set of target databases. That's actually what I have depicted over here on the right-hand side of the slide. In the upper left, you see the Data Project Explorer, which has the objects that you might have recently changed or created. So those would be stored procedures, UDFs, or SQL scripts. On the lower left, you see we've introduced a new Server Profile Manager, which allows you to define all of the attributes that should be associated with the deployment of these objects to a particular server. So you, as you can see, you can support multiple profiles for a server. So you drag and drop the elements, the artifacts, into a collection and the server profiles into a collection. Under the Deployment Manager. So we have a single deployment group that groups artifacts with server profiles. And then you click the button, say, I want to deploy these, and it will deploy all of those artifacts to all of those servers. So a really nice way of keeping your dev and test environments in sync with regard to ongoing changes to your database routines. Okay, let's see. Next slide. If you're interested in Java development, the richness of the Optum Development Studio for Java development is very, very cool. This slide is usually a build slide, so it's a little bit hard to see everything that's going on. In the upper right-hand side, you actually have your Java code window. And in the lower right, we've developed what we call a SQL outline. So as you're developing your Java data access layer, we're collecting up all of the SQL that's associated with that Java access layer. And we consolidate, providing a view of that in what we call the SQL outline. That's in the part in the lower. So it's easy to see that you've got all of your SQL there. In addition, what we do is we have the ability, while you're running the application, to be able to capture the execution metrics associated with each SQL statement. So you can get a quick visualization of where are the areas that you want to focus on from a tuning perspective, which are the SQL that's run most often or that takes the longest time. You can select a SQL statement and open Visual Explain or launch our query tool using the Tune SQL capability there. In addition, it's very easy to find data in your source. So we keep a reference, so you can say find data in source. It'll take you immediately to that place in your source code where that SQL statement resides, or allow you to position in the Data Source Explorer where that particular table is accessed, so you can look up attributes very easily. This is also used in conjunction with our Pure Query runtime support. And using Pure Query, you'd have the ability of actually capturing SQL from executing applications. It is really handy for customers, particularly who are using Java frameworks like Hibernate that actually do the SQL generation. And once we capture that with our Pure Query runtime, then you're able also to populate the same SQL outline and see, you know, the frequency of execution. You can even make changes to that when you have the Pure Query runtime deployed. Without actually having to make changes to the application, you can just make them right here in the SQL file. Okay, next slide, last one. Can we advance the slide?
Sorry, Holly, I'm on the slide, extending impact analysis with Optum Development Studio. Do you want to move forward one more?
No. For some reason, my browser isn't showing that one. I'm still seeing the prior one. So maybe my system has just hung up. So the last slide I was just going but it may be that my system is hung, so I'll just talk to that slide without seeing it. It's that the other thing is that you also have the ability of understanding impact analysis. So if you developed, let's say, a set of changes and you wanted to understand the impact from a code perspective, you'd be able to actually do that directly, either launching from the Data Source Explorer or from actually a DDL script. That's what I believe is shown in the slide there. You'll see a DDL script in the background. You can select the alter DDL and say, show me where this might be related to my source code to assist in impact analysis. So with that, I know we're running out of time, so I'll turn it back over to you, Jamie.
Thank you, Holly. That was very good. So just before we pass it off to Q&A and open it up for some questions from the folks on the line, I wanted to talk a little bit around the DB2 Galileo beta program. So now I'm moving forward to slide number 36. So I'm hoping that as members of iDUG are probably on the phone as well, some of you have already taken part in early access programs offered by IBM for DB2. We'd like to offer you guys the ability to do that as well. So obviously see how the new code will work, see what new functions and enhancements and solutions we're building to come out in our next major release. We'll provide you with resources, someone within IBM as a focal point for you to work with. There's obviously an online collaboration that we'll give you access to ask questions and receive answers, those type of things. Just moving to slide number 37, the one point I did want to call out that this is essentially a closed beta, so it's not open and by the means that anybody can go and download it and start playing with it. It is a closed beta. There is a couple of different methods for getting requesting access to it. So one is obviously just send an email to db2beta@ca.ibm.com, or you can send an email to myself as well. My name is Waters, or my email address is waters@ca.ibm.com. And a couple of different ways of actually testing the Galileo code is obviously the normal way of actually downloading the new image, et cetera, installing it on a server, on your laptop, or wherever you want to play with it and start playing with it. The second one is we actually have DB2 Galileo on the cloud. So you can actually, you know, for a very small price point, cents or cents per hour, if you will, we allow folks to start playing with DB2 Galileo on the cloud. So I'd look forward to actually seeing some of the folks that maybe haven't participated so far on the call. If you could actually send us an email and start playing around with code with us, that'd be great. So let me now pass it on to open up the Q&A.
Thank you, sir. And at this time, if you would like to ask an audio question over the phone, please press *1 on your touch-tone phone. Please record your name clearly when prompted. When recording your name, please make sure your phone is off mute. Once again, if you would like to ask an audio question at this time, please press *1 on your touch-tone phone. Please record your name clearly when prompted. And when recording your name, please make sure your phone is off mute. One moment as we wait for our first question. And our first question comes from Mr. Nick Crissy. Your line is open, sir.
Yeah, I have two questions. One, in the PureScale setup, can the servers be a combination of virtual and physical servers, or can they be all virtual?
So this is Paul Awad. The PureScale servers can be virtualized and can be physical as well. So you could have two servers, for example, power servers with two LPARs each, and you could have basically two members on each physical server. And you virtualize. So you can have either one or the other, logical or physical, or you can have a combination of.
So you can combine them. Okay.
Yeah.
And then one other question I had was, when you were talking about the fixed packs in 9.7, normally IBM in the past couple of releases of DB2 have pretty much only sent out bug fixes in the fixed packs, but it sort of seemed from the different topics that you were covering on the screen that there might be more than just bug fixes, but actual functionality changes. And, you know, that makes our vendors very, very nervous, and they won't necessarily certify on a new fixed pack until they've done extensive testing if they think there's been enhancements made that actually affect the way DB2 functions. So did I just read more into that slide than was there, or is IBM kind of changing in 9.7?
So that's a good question, actually. So we actually don't want to change that approach. You're very correct that adds risk to a number of our partners and even our customers when they're actually moving from fixed pack to fixed pack. So the stance from IBM is still essentially around bug fixes, or not to necessarily introduce anything net new that would change how DB2 works. That said, it is a little bit of a hazy line when you're talking about some things such as some of the compatibility features and those type of things that you might not characterize something as a bug defect, but actually maybe it didn't work before because we just hadn't coded it in. So we would actually add it in a fixed pack and add that capability in there as well. So, but yes, I understand your point, and hopefully we're not introducing too much risk from fixed pack to fixed pack.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
And at this time, we currently have six questions in the queue. Our next question comes from Ira. Your line is open, sir.
Yes, I was wondering if the DB2 PD tool is integrated or available in the Optimum Performance Manager and WLM products.
We're not doing anything specific with the DB2 PD. Is there something in particular that you're looking for?
Well, a lot of the low-level details that, from a performance perspective, seems intriguing, and I was wondering if you would provide some of that functionality.
Yeah, we're using both the snapshots and monitors to be able to capture all of the performance management data today. So there's a fair amount of detail that's available there, so I guess I'd be interested in knowing, you know, if you've had a chance to take a look at it, what you feel is missing today.
Around the area of a WLM, the low-level WLM infrastructure.
Yeah. We do capture a fair amount of WLM data. Today, that information is made available through a set of reports. We haven't yet gotten all of the WLM data integrated into the OPM browser UI yet. So that's part of our roadmap. But we do capture the WLM data, and that's made available via a set of WLM reports.
Does that include the histogramming?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Mr. Blos. Your line is open.
Yes, I just, from the original invite I had, the wrong handout was attached to it or linked to it. I was wondering if somebody could email me the link to the correct handout for today so I can have it for review.
Yeah, that should be no problem. Either RAB, these things should be available for them to download. Was there an issue with the links?
But the one I got was it was about right scale and cloud computing for DB2, not the one for today.
Okay.
That's it.
If you go to ibm.com/db2/labchats, the first webcast listed on top should be today's webcast, and they should see a link to download the presentation.
Say that again now,
ibm.com/db2/labchats, L-A-B-C-H-A-T-S. That's also on the flip over to the last slide. I think the link is there.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from Mr. Robert Gallord. Your line is open.
Yes, the PDF download, page 19, is blank with regards to the packaging, and I'm specifically interested in the integration of the suite of features in the Advanced Enterprise Server Edition in regards to InfoSphere Warehouse.
So first and foremost, I can probably get you another diagram of that. I think just when we changed the PowerPoints to a PDF, for some reason it didn't take kindly to the fact that we embedded Microsoft Excel pictures into the PowerPoint, and it just pictures it in black. I apologize for that. But your second question around did I understand correctly, you're asking which warehouse features are in advanced?
The InfoSphere warehouse offering is the distributed DB2 offering. It used to be called the balanced warehouse.
Yeah.
In the quick glance that I got of that slide 19, it looked as if the features of the Advanced Enterprise Server Edition were not available in that offering for your distributed partitioning facility type of environment. So I'm wondering.
With the introduction of the Advanced Edition, there were no changes that were made to the InfoSphere Warehouse Editions, either the Base or Enterprise Editions. So basically, I don't know all the specific components of the Base Edition. But if I look at the InfoSphere Enterprise Edition, I do believe it includes everything that is in Advanced Edition, as well as DPF, as well as some tooling and mining capabilities. But definitely, it's a good question. I think we received that question as well, as someone's looking for what is the comparison of AESE versus InfoSphere Warehouse, and I think that's a great question. We need to put a chart together for that.
Great. Thanks a lot.
And our next question comes from Mr. Eric White. Your line is open, sir.
Thanks. Two questions. On the advanced, is that just a licensing thing that you're doing, or is that a physical install? How will I tell if I'm running the advanced versus just standard ESE?
It's a physical install. So basically it's a licensing change, if you will, but it's still a physical install. So if you do run the license manager, et cetera, you will notice that you are running Advanced Enterprise Server Edition.
Okay, perfect. Second question real quick would be, we're getting a lot of push here to do three-way replication header in the current version 9.5.9.7, right? You're only going to do primary to one standby. Are there any thoughts to go to a third site, anything closer to what Oracle Data Guard can do?
Mm-hmm. I can't speak a whole lot about features and stuff, but I know that we are essentially working on that. So if you'd like to send me an email, I'd love to have a further discussion with you under NDA and just let you know kind of what we're doing with that.
Sounds great. Thanks.
And our next question comes from Mr. Ashur Lingamalu. Your line is open.
Hi. The question I have is around the ASC and the installation that just now clarified, you clarified that it's a separate physical install. And when we try to upgrade the existing 9.7, is it something we can fall back if we want to roll back?
I believe so. I apologize. I should know that answer off the top of my head. I have not heard of any limitations in falling back from basically Fix Pack 9703A to a previous Fix Pack.
Okay. So is there something, trial version available for AAC, which we can use it?
Yeah, there is a trial license available, so that's usually available on the trials and downloads, but I can send that link out as well. Do you want to send me an email, and I'll get you the right information?
Sure, I'll do that.
Thanks.
And your email address is?
It's Waters, W-A-T-T-E-R-S, at ca.ibm.com.
Got it. Thank you.
Apologies. I should have put it in the slides.
No problem.
And our next question comes from Sri Nuses. Your line is open.
Hi, I have a quick question on how do you differentiate between Optim Developer Studio and Data Studio with respect to development area?
Yeah, thanks. There's a couple of major differences. One is the Java development. So if you're doing Java data access development, then you'd want to have Optim Development Studio, which has a richer capability. In addition, if you're doing any of the work around Oracle migration, then you'd want to have Optim Development Studio, which includes the PL/SQL support as well as connectivity to Oracle. And the third key piece would be around the enterprise deployment support that was packaged with Optim Development Studio. So if you're wanting to be able to have deployment support for a set of database routines to a set of database servers, that's an Optum Development Studio. Those would probably be the top sheet, I would say, of the key distinguishing factors.
Okay. Another quick question. I know the Optum Performance Manager is a web-based monitoring tool. At the same time, Database Administrator, Development Studio, and Data Studio, all these additional tools, all those are web-based too, or are the standalone installs on the machine, on the laptop, or the client machine?
Yeah, those are client-based tools. They're built out on Eclipse. They are available in such a way that they can all be co-installed, so that you could actually have Data Studio, Optum Development Administrator, and Optum Development Studio all installed in a common workstation, so it appears as a single offering. Or you can have, you know, separate independent installs and use different products with, you know, different roles in the organization.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, if you would like to ask an audio question at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please record your name clearly when prompted. When recording your name, please make sure your phone is off mute. Our next question comes from Mr. Frank Parrish. Your line is open, sir.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. One, in the slides you said that, or you showed that you were able to see historical information about the engine's performance. I'm curious as to whether you're storing, I'm taking it that you're storing that information somewhere. I'd like to know where that information is stored, and does it potentially cost any performance issues storing that data? Is there an additional storage requirement to store that data?
Mm-hmm.
How exactly is that managed?
Yeah, we store it in a DB2 database. We provide a restricted use license to DB2 Enterprise Server Edition for use with Optum Performance Manager. So, you know, you're able to store as basically as much storage as you're willing to allocate to it.
Okay.
But you have no additional cost in terms of the DB2 license that's included with the Optum Performance Manager.
Okay. Well, I too, I'm getting a lot of questions about HADR and multi-targets. I'd like to know exactly where the company stands or IBM stands with implementing that in the near future. So if any information you can push my way would be greatly appreciated.
Okay. So if you could send, as I mentioned, if you could send me an email, or I don't think I have your information as well, but I'd love to chat with you.
Okay. To the waters.ibm.com?
Yeah, we have waters at ca.ibm.com.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Imran. Your line is open.
Yes, this is Imran. I have a question about the PureScale solution. And the question is the disaster recovery or the DR feature available at this point for PureScale?
So this is Paul again, Paul Awad. So there are several DR solutions available for PureScale that customers can use now and support it. One is QRAP replication is supported by PureScale. CDC is another option, change data capture. Of course, there is the storage replication as well. In terms of HADR specifically, it's not yet supported with PureScale. There are discussions on supporting it, and again, I can't discuss future plans, but HADR is in the discussion. Also, there is what is called a stretch cluster or geo cluster, and that enables basically spreading one cluster across certain distance up to about 100 kilometers for one cluster to be kind of across town or across buildings. And we've seen a lot of customers have interest in that, and that will satisfy a lot of the DR requests or needs for PureScale.
So what was the last technology that you mentioned?
Geo-clustering. Basically, it enables this the having one cluster spread across distance.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
And we currently have two questions in the queue. Both parties that are in there did not record their name. So the first party, if you are the person that's asking the question, your line is open, and please take your phone off mute.
Well, this is Elliot.
Elliot, your line is open. We can hear you.
Okay. We have I may have missed this. We have InfoSphere Warehouse, the Enterprise Edition. Are the Optum tools that Performance Manager and the DB2 Administrator included in that?
I guess I don't know for sure. I believe the answer is yes. I believe that it's included in all of the DB2 bundles. Jamie, that's correct, right?
That is correct, yes.
And as far as the Optum Performance Manager, if you have InfoSphere Warehouse Enterprise Edition, then you would have not only Optum Performance Manager, but you'd have the extended edition of Optum Performance Manager, which includes additional function beyond actually what I've talked about, which provides response time monitoring, so you can see the full response time details regarding individual workloads, so you can set KPIs that are more reflective of end-user experience, and you also get to see time-spent breakdowns as a part of the extended insight. So you actually have capability beyond what's even in the advanced server edition.
And how would I make sure that I can obtain those file sets or packages? Would I have to get a whole new set of CDs or what?
Well, they're packaged as a part of the performance optimization feature, which is included with the InfoSphere Warehouse Enterprise Edition.
Okay.
So if you have that, then you should have direct access to that through Passport Advantage.
Yeah, so you download that from Passport Advantage if you're entitled to download the InfoSphere Warehouse Edition. Alternatively, you could talk to your IBM representative to help you get the physical CDs.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
We do have one more question in the queue. Did you want to take that?
Yeah, please.
All right. And the last party that joined in did not record their name. If you are the party that's asking the question, your line is open, and please take your phone off mute.
Hi, this is Arvind here. Actually, my question was for DB2 Top. Are we keeping DB2 Top up to the level of integrating all features in that? Because of now we have so much GUI for WLM, half of the part we go for your Optum Performance Manager, and half of the part we can go for DB2 PD. So is there any tool on the server that we can use?
I'm not sure I completely understand the question. Holly, do you know
what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, for DB2Top, are we keeping it up to the level for that supports all features?
When you say DB2Top, is that are you referring to the Advanced Edition?
I'm talking in the Advanced Edition. So DB2Top was introduced in 9.1. Going for 9.7, are we keeping it, developed and introducing of all the features that we are putting in 9.7?
Yeah, it's an all-edition.
I believe that Optim Performance Manager is the strategic performance management platform for DB2.
Mm-hmm.
I think that DB2Top was developed primarily for being able to demonstrate new technologies that are coming available in DB2. So, but from a strategic performance management platform, you should be looking at the Optim offering.
Okay. Thank you.
And at this time, we have no other questions in the queue.
There's a couple questions online. Can I just maybe answer a few of those?
You can. Go ahead.
Okay, actually, so first and foremost, I think I may have confused some folks. I think I maybe mentioned that if you have V9.7 FixPack 3A, then essentially you have the Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. That's not essentially true. I apologize for that. So there is a 9.7 3A FixPack for the Enterprise Server Edition as well as the Advanced Enterprise Server Edition. So it is very possible that you have the ESE Edition and you've downloaded and installed FixPack 3A on that. But that does not mean that you necessarily have the Advanced Edition version of that FixPack. There would still need to be a process of purchasing those licenses and updating the signature. So I apologize for the confusion there. There's a couple other here as well. One, I think it's a tooling question. What's the difference between Performance Expert from Multiplatforms and Performance Manager V4.1?
In essence, Optim Performance Manager is the follow-on product to DB2 Performance Expert, but we're in the midst of a re-architecture, and Optim 4.1 was sort of phase one of that. So Performance Expert had a fat client architecture. OPM has a fully web-based architecture, and further work that we're doing will exploit additional capability that's in the DB2 in terms of additional metrics available via in-memory metrics. So it's the evolution, if you will, of DB2 Performance Expert, but we think a significant advancement in terms of usability.
All right, thanks, Holly. And another question I think here towards yourself. Is Optim Performance Manager essentially DB2's counter to Oracle's grid?
Yeah. I guess I would say the answer to that is certainly yes. It is our strategic performance management product. So if we're looking at a comparison of Oracle and Oracle performance monitoring, then we'd be looking at competing with, DB2 and Optim Performance Manager.
Okay. Another question I think for you. There's quite a few for you here. So where can I find more info on Optim and WLM?
Well, there's certainly information out on the web on Optim Performance Manager. Regarding use with WLM specifically, I'd probably have to go look. I'm sure that we have some stuff on DeveloperWorks, but if you have an email address associated with that, Jamie, then I can get some information back to the person.
Okay. Unfortunately, I don't think I have an email address, but I've given everybody, if you're still on the webcast, I've sent my email address to everybody in the chat area. So if you do want to send specific questions to myself, I'll forward them on to Holly if necessary. That'd be great. One other question here in regards to Optim, would there be a separate licensing fee for it? I think we've answered that with respect to the fact that ODA and ODS is included in all DB2 versions. When you talk about Advanced Enterprise Server, you also get the Optim Performance Manager. Hopefully that answers the question.
And it sounds like there may have been questions earlier regarding InfoSphere Warehouse as well. And just for clarity, Optim Performance Manager is included in InfoSphere Warehouse Departmental Edition and Optim Performance Manager Extended Edition, which has the additional response time monitoring and time spent breakdowns that I spoke of earlier, are included in InfoSphere Warehouse Enterprise Edition.
Okay, one other question here. What minimum tool do I need to develop DB2 SQL PL stored procedures on DB2 version 9.7?
I would get Optum Development Studio because that also has the Oracle Access support.
Okay, I think, yes, so another one just came in. ODA and ODS are part of ESE2. Yes, that's correct. Another question for PureScale. Does the 9.8 release of PureScale support multiple instances?
Currently, DB2 PureScale supports multiple databases per instance, but not multiple instances yet. But we can definitely work with different customers need different things. So with the strong virtualization offerings these days, one could have virtualized environment that offers that multiple instance concept. And then within that, you can have the multiple database environment, and that should satisfy almost all customers' needs.
Thanks, Paul. Holly, what's the difference between Data Studio and Optum DBA Studio from a DBA perspective?
So the difference between Data Studio and Optum Database Administrator, perhaps,
yeah,
is what the...
Yeah, I think that's what they're referring to, yeah.
Right. Specifically, Optum... let me say what Data Studio has that ODA does not have. Data Studio has some specific tooling. It includes the Optum Query Tuner client, but made available only for supporting query formatting and single query statistics advice and visual access plan graph. So it includes the Optum Query Tuner client, but with limited functionality. That part of Data Studio is not included in Optum Database Administrator. Optum Database Administrator specifically includes change management functionality, including support for reverse and forward engineering, compare and sync, development of change plans that support extended alters, so dropping and recreating objects, and the scripting support for all of that.
Okay. Sorry, Paul, just a further thank you, Holly. Further clarification, Paul, I have a question. Did the answer that you just talked about say that you can only run one PureScale DB2 instance on a server?
PureScale is a clustering technology, so it runs across several servers. So you can have at the current offering, you can have one instance of PureScale in a cluster, but within that instance, you can have multiple databases. So several servers, of course, in this.
Okay. they just keep coming in here. A couple more, guys, and we got to call it a day. Is Optum Database Administrator included in InfoSphere Warehouse Edition? I think the answer there is yes, isn't it?
Yes.
And the other question I got is, for DB2 LUW ESE, are ODA and ODS included? The answer there is yes. When will something like Replication Center get created in Optimum Tools?
I know that the replication team is looking at, you know, their strategic plan for database administration. Replication administration. So I'm not at liberty to disclose anything there, but if you're specifically interested, I would say send an email to Jamie and we can connect you with the replication team.
Okay. All right, Rav, let me pass it back to you, and we'll close up the session.
All right. I'd like to thank all of the speakers and everyone for attending this call. You had an overwhelming turnout today. If you still have any further questions, feel free to email them to Jamie or myself, rsahuja@ca.ibm.com. And if you'd like to get the presentation charts, they're at ibm.com/db2/labchats. We expect the recording to be available within 1 or 2 weeks on channeldb2.com. And with that, we conclude our today's presentation. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, your call has concluded. You may disconnect at this time. Once again, your call has concluded. You may disconnect at this time. Thank you, and have a great day.